For the fourth Sunday running, our second reading this morning has come from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. The lecture is very good. It takes you through the letter during this time. I think we've got about two or three more instalments to come. Our passage is a little chunk from a much longer argument of St. Paul's, which we break in on. The main thrust of the letter of Paul to the Galatians was to address the issue which arose very early in the life of the Christian church. Did Gentiles who had become Christians need to follow external Jewish practices, in particular the men to be circumcised? The early church at its council in Jerusalem had agreed that they didn't. That being baptized, it's lovely that baptism comes through this reading, except for today when we've got the baptisms to come in a moment. Being baptized was sufficient. Faith in what Christ had done is what mattered, not in Jewish externals. The church, unfortunately, had a problem. If you think disputes in the church are new, they're not. They're very old. You had the circumcision party, who still wanted to enforce circumcision, keen to maintain Jewish racial distinctiveness. And you've got to remember, this letter is written by Paul, once a very zealous traditional Jew, and he argues his case. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, as you'll see from our reading. Of course, if we were to take all the candidates down to the Volturna and dunk them and bring them back up again, you have an even better picture of dying with Christ and rising to new life in Christ. And as we will say in our post-communion prayer, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. What should be seen in each of us is the living out of the risen life of Christ, not some external physical work on our bodies to make us distinctive. And so Paul comes out with this staggering statement. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it's that passage, that verse that I want to concentrate on this morning. There is no longer Jew or Greek. The enormity of what St. Paul says may be lost on some of us today, so let me explain. The Jews were God's chosen people, and that was something they were very much sure about. But because of that, therefore, they saw themselves as being far better than the heathen Gentiles, which is what the word Greek is being used here almost certainly to refer to, who they looked down upon. And even within Judaism, you had Jews living in Palestine who spoke Aramaic, like Jesus did, and those of the dispersion, the Hellenistic Jews, who spoke Greek. And in fact, you get in the life of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles that there was a dispute over the distribution of money to widows, as though those who spoke Aramaic were getting preference over those who spoke Greek, a matter that had to be dealt with. Nearly all the first Christians were Jews, and they were used to Gentiles who wanted to become Jews needing actually to be baptized, but also circumcised. But now, Jew and Gentile have been baptized into Christ. The distinction of the Jew and Gentile or Greek no longer applies. One of the great joys of working with this congregation is the number of nationalities it contains. If I were to go around this morning and say, where are you from? I know we'd reach double figures. And you will hear often at the front here English spoken with a whole variety of different accents. But even amongst us as a congregation, there can be the danger of seeing one nationality as being better than another. We can all be guilty of it. Forgive me to the Czechs amongst you here, but I'm told the Czechs look down on the Slovaks, and the Slovaks look down on the Ukrainians. Yes. My wife, who's not here this morning, is a German, and she's a Fischkoft, because, of course, the Germans have this dispute between North and South. They claim what the other ones eat. So those from the North are called by those from the South Fischkofts, fish heads, and, of course, those from the North call those from the South Weißwurst, white sausages, because that's what they believe those in Bavaria and elsewhere eat. But what St. Paul is saying is distinctions, those hierarchies which we so easily build, no longer apply. All are one in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say there is no longer slave or free. There was a clear distinction, distinct strata in the society of the Roman Empire that we're talking about. Those who were free could work and move around freely against those who were servants or slaves, tied to a place, to a master. Again, there is an enormity in what St. Paul says. For in everyday life, there was a great distinction between a free person and a slave. But in Christ, there is no longer, says St. Paul. I wonder whether you meet somebody new in church or somewhere else, and your natural conversation starter might be to ask, what do you do? Or why are you here in Prague? Is the person a company director? Or a teacher of English as a foreign language? Or some ladies who sometimes get labelled as only a housewife? And we very easily in our minds set up a pecking order. In the early days of me being here, sometimes somebody would come up to me and say, oh, do you know who that person is over there? As though they are of some great importance. So what? It's nice to be introduced, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And then St. Paul says, there is no longer male and female. It is, of course, the most obvious distinction in the human race. Male and female, he created them, says the creation narrative in Genesis. With that distinction has come different statuses and roles, and usually with men being made superior to women. There are one or two societies where it is the reverse. And whilst many would argue that St. Paul, sometimes they say, is anti-women, that argument falls down completely here. There is neither male and female. Baptism into Christ makes that distinction no longer relevant either. All are one in Christ Jesus. Of course, being all one in Christ Jesus doesn't mean that we all become the same, some form of Christian clone. We will continue to speak English with different accents and use slightly different vocabularies, the usual transatlantic divide that I have to cope with English alone. We will have different coloured skin and hair, some of us get less and less of it, have different careers and professions. We will obviously still be men and women, but these differences will not make one person better than another. Rather, as should be the case, they will complement each other. Our race, social status, or gender will not, certainly shouldn't, stand in the way of us being all one in Christ Jesus. What flows on from that is that the Christian gospel, too, is for everyone. And so to that interesting gospel reading that I read, Jesus has moved outside of traditional Jewish territory into the area called Decapolis, a Greek area. Hence, of course, there was a herd of pigs, which would never be in Jewish territory. And I have to say, I feel very sorry for the herd of pigs and also for the owners of the pigs in the story. But the nub of the gospel story is that the man in the story is healed. He wants to join Jesus, go back with Jesus across the lake. No, says Jesus, go back home to his non-Jewish home and declare how much God has done for you. And we're told that's exactly what he did. There is always a danger in the Christian church of wanting those who come to church, join the church, to be like us, not to be different, even though, as I say, as a congregation here, we are a very diverse community. The story of the Gadarene demoniac is that even the most wild, distraught person is loved by God and can be baptized into Christ, be clothed with Christ, be part of all those who are one in Christ Jesus. And of course, this morning we're going to baptize 4 children and welcome them into the family of the church. For there is no longer Jew or Greek, but instead American, South African, or Nigerian, Czech, or Slovak. There is no longer slave or free, chief executive officer or TEFL teacher, diplomat or housewife. There is no longer male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen.